America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand. You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Hey, welcome to Wiggins America, where we're going to talk about music for fireworks at my July 4th special, the 6th annual that's happening next weekend, and I'm looking forward to it so much. If you don't know what it is, you're going to find out really quick and many times in this show that it is a commercial-free 3 hours of patriotic music, and I'll say vignettes, even though that sounds so French and... You know, we don't like to celebrate the French on July 4th. Actually, I guess we do. That was part of the American Revolution. They were on our side. But we are playing music. We are playing patriotic music and just lots of, like, patriotic things, whether they be inspiring speeches from American history or things from pop culture, like the Sandlot fireworks scene and stuff like that. It's just all throughout your July 4th night, and it is called Music for Fireworks, the American Soundtrack. It is sponsored by Paramount Men's Medical, which is awesome. And so we thank them for doing that and making it commercial free. This is the 6th annual. And we are going to talk about that a lot. But first, let's talk about Clark Kent, better known as Brandon Gill in the house. Now, this is a guy who... I guess has risen to fame partially because he's a young dude and he looks like Superman. But partially because he's pretty good at questioning people when they're doing hearings. He brings the heat without being mean or anything. He just asks questions. So as such, I'm going to play the entire roughly 4 minute clip of him asking pretty much one question of SNAP / food stamp defenders. Now, I don't know this lady's name. She's like a health expert or something. Has to do with food insecurity. She was on Capitol Hill. She was getting grilled. And Brandon Gill really gave the best performance, because that's what we're talking about these are now. I'm going to play the whole thing, and then we'll come back and we'll assess. But you have to hear it in its totality.
Should SNAP dollars be spent on sodas?
The purpose of the SNAP program is to provide families to have food and beverages.
Should it be spent on sugary sodas?
I am happy to talk about hunger and nutrition, but not dictate what Americans should or should not eat or may have access to.
I'm asking if tax dollars should be used to pay for sodas.
Taxpayers' money should be utilized to ensure that individuals have access to the food that they need to survive or may be accessible to them.
Do they need sugary sodas to survive?
Some of them do, who do have low blood issues, who may have kidney issues.
You think they need Coca-Cola to survive? Do you think that's the most appropriate use of our tax dollars?
I am not a physician, but medical records and expertise
you were just citing the health needs, apparently, of the American people. So do the American people need Coca-Cola to survive?
I did not say that. I said then.
I'm asking you. I'm giving you the opportunity to say yes or no.
I will not answer for individuals and their choices.
You think that there are some Americans who need Coca-Cola to survive? Is that your testimony?
I am happy to talk about the food and nutrition
you just don't know.
That individuals have.
You just don't know. I think most people can rationally say that you don't need Coca-Cola to survive. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree that we have a hunger crisis and that we need to address it, but ensuring that individuals have the food resource that they need.
Got it. And one of those is sugary Coca-Cola. What does SNAP stand for?
It's a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
What's nutritional about Coca-Cola?
I am not a nutritionist. I am a food security expert in ensuring that individuals have the food resources that they need.
This is a common sense question. All of these have been common sense questions. I'm just asking you, is there nutritional value to sugary sodas? It's a yes or no question.
I am not an expert. I would have to look at the dietary guidelines.
You're not an expert. I don't think that there's nutritional value to sugary sodas. I think most people in this room would agree with that assessment. But you have no opinion?
I'm here to talk about the food needs and the hunger crisis that individuals here in America are facing.
Are you that ideologically dug in that you want our tax dollars paying for sugary sodas that you will not, in a straightforward way, admit that sugary sodas are not healthful for the American people?
I think that focusing on soda when people are going hungry.
We spend a lot of our tax dollars are spent on soda. That's why I'm asking about it.
We have
you appear to be so ideologically dug in that you won't answer a simple question that's not an appropriate use of our tax dollars and that does not, in fact, make the American people more healthy.
I won't answer because there's no data sort of proving that.
Do you need data to determine whether drinking soda is healthy? It's a serious question. Do you believe that perhaps drinking sodas every day is healthy?
The worst health outcome is hunger. When the individuals don't have the resources.
Do you satiate hunger with Coca-Cola?
I did not say that.
But you said that the worst health outcome is hunger, and I'm asking you about sugary sodas.
And I'm focusing on the nutrition needs and making sure that children have the resources.
Is your organization funded by soft drink makers?
I am not in charge of development, but no.
It's not. Okay. Is your organization funded by organizations that make money from food stamps? Organizations who profit off of food stamps fund your organization or businesses?
I mean, I can't comment to that. Happy to talk about the resources that need it.
Does General Mills fund your organization?
I don't have access to that information.
I do. It's right here. They do fund your organization. Do they profit off of food stamps?
Retailers are the major beneficiaries.
Do you think that that's a conflict of interest?
That's where EBT dollars are utilized.
Yes, and they're profiting off of your advocacy. Do you think that that's a conflict of interest? I think most people think that's a conflict of interest. I know you don't want to answer.
You know the saddest part about that entire 4-minute grilling is that, A, it's one question, and that she could have moved on so easily by just saying no. Answering, no. Are sugary drinks healthy? No. Okay, then why are you blah, blah, blah? That's the question she was really afraid of. Because if she said, no, they're not healthy, well, then why are you defending tax dollars being used for them? That's the next question. That one she knew she couldn't answer, so she made herself look like a fool to not answer the easy one. But that's what happens when money and ideology get involved in these things, is that you can say, hey, I'll try to answer your bigger question. You can do that because that happens a lot. That wasn't even really the case here because she couldn't answer the bigger question. The bigger question is actually what she's afraid of more. it's beautiful. That whole thing was rather beautiful. So I wanted to give it its due time. And now this.
Wow. Wiggins America.
Maybe you missed this week because you are not from Illinois. I am from Illinois, so I did not miss this. The mayor of Chicago, who is not my mayor, both literally and figuratively, tweeted out something about Pride Month. Would you like to hear this tweet? Or whatever they're calling him on X now. Mayor Brandon Johnson, Chicago's mayor, says, for too many transgender Chicagoans, the sense of belonging they deserve in their city has been denied by exclusion and barriers to opportunity in spaces that should feel safe and welcoming. Since declaring a transfemicide state of emergency, our administration has strengthened the city's capacity to support LGBTQ+ Chicagoans. This framework builds on that work by centering the voices and lived experiences of trans Chicagoans to chart a path toward a safer, more connected city. Two things. One, This is a trans femicide state of emergency. So implying, especially with that last sentence there, toward a safer, more connected city, that there are transgender Chicagoans that are being harmed. It seems physically, even, like they're being targeted by bigots, I guess. And this is happening in Chicago. So if you, Mayor Brandon Johnson, have created this environment in Chicago that is such a problem, you're failing. But I guess by doing a trans femicide state of emergency, again, I'm not even sure what that word means, but I think it has to do with the death of people who are dressing as the opposite gender. I think that he's saying they're in tremendous danger in Chicago. But let's look at what Matt Walsh had to say. So I understand that you are not from Illinois, so maybe you didn't hear that. But I am, and I heard that. Matt Walsh, also not from Illinois, that I know of, did hear it, though. Had to say this. Chicago's clown mayor, Brandon Johnson, declared a state of emergency over the alleged epidemic of trans people being murdered in the city. Pop quiz, can you guess how many trans people were murdered in the entire state of Illinois last year? This is not in the city of Chicago. Are you hearing me here? How many trans people were murdered in the entire state? That would include the bigots downstate in Illinois in the countryside. Was it 50? No. Was it 25? No. Was it 2? No. Was it 1? No. The answer is 0. There were 0 trans people murdered in the entire state of Illinois last year, which would mean by default there were 0 trans people murdered in the city of Chicago last year. Matt Walsh goes on to say, if literally 0 trans murders is a state of emergency, then what do you call the 6 regular people murders that happened in Chicago last weekend? If you're Brandon Johnson, you call it nothing because you don't even acknowledge it because you're a blank thing I can't read on the radio. Ah, the beauty of the internet. No FCC. That is a remarkable story. And yes, the mayor, and I don't even say this kind of stuff that much. I will point these things out and kind of let you, but I don't use these kind of words. That guy's a clown. That's ridiculous. That's borderline insane that you have actual, I mean, everybody knows, whether you're in downtown St. Louis, downtown Chicago, whatever it is, there's a lot of murders. There are murders that happen all the time. There were 6 last weekend, apparently, in Chicago. He doesn't give a rip about just when somebody is murdered. But if they dress up, if they claim they're the opposite gender from what their genitalia would imply, then he cares. And it's not happening. Quite remarkable. Quite remarkable, the disconnect. And yes, this is an absolute political divide between the far left and everybody else. Democrats in the middle, where are you guys at? You got to call this stuff out. You got to stop it. But you guys keep electing these people. One more thing before we get to the break here. I know this is kind of a long segment to start the show, but I had all this planned. So I'm going to play a bit of a grocery item. If you've never heard me do this on the show, then you haven't listened for very long because I play them randomly, usually at the end of segments. And they are, yeah, a pretty shameless promotion for my book. I have a book called The Grocery List, and it is just a bunch of comedy. It's Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy, basically my own version of it. And that's why I tried so hard to get Jack Handy to endorse it from Saturday Night Live. And he did. He endorsed my freaking book, which is incredible and like a milestone of life for me. But that's the most recent book I've released. I say that because I'm going to play this thing in a second. You'll hear and you'll know a little bit more about why I play those things. And you can get that book at Amazon. Oh, by the way. But I am releasing a new book this year, and I still don't know the exact date, but the book is done. And now I'm going through the process of getting, you know, the final edit, you know, basically just the grammatical edit at this point, just to make sure I got all my dots in the right places and no weird things, words where they're not supposed to be, that kind of stuff. No, like, structural changes, but the whole thing is done. It is the story of 2 men who are in the west of Ireland on a fishing trip, and it's set about 100 years ago. And so they're on an angler's trip because we're using British language in this book, actually. It's been a little bit of a challenge for me to do that. But they are on a fishing trip, and they come across a house that is in ruins. And they explore it a little bit. They feel a little bit funny about it. Seems like something's off. They take a book from the ruins of that house, and then all hell breaks loose. They leave, and hell follows with them with the book. So they realize about halfway through that they're going to have to take this book back if they're going to stop all this craziness from happening. And so then when they do, they return and the house is full. It is no longer in ruins. And then they have to go in it. And then it gets real crazy. So it is a horror book, horror novel, suspense, you know, all that stuff. It's not really comedy. So when I play the grocery item list here in a second, that's pure comedy book. I try to challenge myself and do this book. It's going to be called The Swine Things, and I still don't know when it'll be released. Hopefully, like, right at the end of summer, but it could stretch into maybe September, depending on how fast I can get the cover art and all that stuff done. Anyway, that's what's going on with me, and we're going to take a short break and be right back. This is Wiggins America.
Wiggins America.
And now, an excerpt from The Grocery List, a book by Ryan Wiggins.
I bet the guy who invented Twisty Tasties is kicking himself for sharing his idea with good friend Paul Pretzel.
The Grocery List, food for thought, by Ryan Wiggins. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Not to give you a false sense of hope, in fact, the exact opposite, but I've been having a lot of conversations with people who are hopeful that we could see people finally wake up in a place like California, or especially Illinois, since we're so close to it and I live there, and go, you know what, these policies, and primarily we're really talking about economic, it's the social stuff that kind of drives people and goes, what are we doing? You know, like the story about the illegal immigrant in Illinois that's just been let go and, you know, caused damage to families, you know, and that's putting it mildly. But those things motivate people, but it's ultimately economics that make people decide whether to leave or stay an area more than anything, for the most part. And the economics of blue states are just bad, and blue cities. That's why people are leaving them. It's not because of the social stuff. It's not because of any other reason. It's somewhat crime, maybe you could say, for the cities in particular, but not necessarily the states. For the states, it is economics. And you can never blame people for trying to make a better life for themselves somewhere else. And right now, that's intra-country migration that's happening. There's, of course, immigration, and there's illegal immigration that's happening in the United States, although there's pretty much no illegal immigration happening in the United States right now, but we're still dealing with the ramifications of a completely open border done on purpose by the Biden administration trying to overrun the country. But regardless, it's economics that cause migration at all, really. And that's the primary reason, sometimes political persecution, but mainly it's economics. Anyway, the reason I'm saying all this is because I've been having these conversations with people about, can Republicans win in Illinois, or can they win in a place like L.A., even if the election is completely honest and Rahman, or whatever her name is, Nathaya Rahman, her somehow sudden surge into second place into the primary that nobody saw coming and bucked really all the statistics. Somehow that's realistic. Even if Spencer Pratt was on the ballot, it just wouldn't happen. And the reason why that is true, and why I'm saying Steve Hilton doesn't really have a chance for California governor, is because Republicans are leaving those states. It's the people generally who see the writing on the wall economically who are leaving, and they tend to be right-leaning voters. And they're going to right-leaning places like Texas, like Tennessee. They're going to places that are having a boom in growth and that have low income taxes or no income taxes. And they're going places where businesses are flourishing and where business environments are good. Missouri is actually one of them. It hasn't seen the boom, but it has seen growth. And we're not going to gain any electoral seats in Missouri, but it's places like that that are at least staying still. You know, Missouri's not going to lose seats, whereas a place like Illinois is going to lose seats. A place like California, New York, they're all losing seats because people are leaving the bad economics and bad governance of those areas. So with that in mind, you say, well, long term, Republicans are in really good shape because red states are getting redder and bigger and blue states are getting smaller and bluer. But that also means that you don't have a good chance of a Republican winning in a blue state in the future. They're just going to continue to implode because unless their voters have some sort of weird grand awakening, you're just not going to see it happen. And this is the topic that I brought to the Mark Cox Morning Show this week. And we discussed not only that, but we discussed what does this look like for the House in 2026 in the midterms.
Wow, Wiggins America.
I was having several conversations this weekend with people about these topics, like specifically because we live in Illinois. We, as in me and my family, not you guys. But why can't Illinois elect a Republican governor anymore? You know, and why can't Spencer Pratt get into the election in L.A.? These kind of things. Well, it's because Republicans are moving out of those areas. Mm-hmm. And so when you go, oh, don't bring your politics to Texas and that stuff, they're not. Like, it's actually Republicans that are moving to red areas. Hmm. And that is statistically bearing out in elections and in polls and trends and things. And so you see that a lot of these, what's happening generally in the United States is that red states are getting bigger and redder, and blue states are getting bluer and smaller. And that applies to cities as well. And so overall, you're going to see Republicans really getting more electoral power because of that, because of the census and because of redistricting and gerrymandering and so forth. But I brought this article talking about the swing districts in the United States coming up for this midterm election. Republicans in the National Republican NRCC, that's what the acronym is, have been tracking swing districts in the United States for the House since 2020 and beyond that.
Right.
But they've been tracking these specific 28 districts since at least 2020. And the thing is, they don't need to track 28 of them anymore because we've changed the map enough, everybody has, that there's really only down to about 15 seats or 18 seats that matter somewhere in there now because of the swing states. It used to be like 40 of them back, you know, a few years ago. Now it's down to about 15 to 20 that are actually swing seats in the House. And amazingly, among those they've been tracking, just since 2024, so not all the way back to 2020, but just since the last election, Democrats have lost more than 275,000 registered voters in those swing districts.
Wow.
And nobody's really talking about that because they're talking about more. Democrats really are touting national numbers right now. And they're true, but they benefit them more in the Senate at statewide races, not in the House.
Well, those are just the illegals who were deported. Is that right?
I can't speak to that. The article doesn't say.
Where did they go?
The babies who haven't been born yet?
So I guess Democrats have just left these swing districts, or they've deregistered as Democrats. We don't know if they've actually left or they've just become not Democrats anymore. But it's based on voter registration in these 28 swing districts. So here's the other really amazing number, is that since they've been tracking it since 2020, if you go all the way back to there, Republicans edge on Democrats. So that includes people becoming registered Republicans or less registered Democrats, has swung 737,000 voters toward Republicans in just these 28 swing districts. Hmm. So we talk about the House being a problem for the Republicans in the coming up midterms. Well, national trends do look, always, when the party in power comes into a midterm election, it's tough on that party. And so I'm not saying it's not going to be. But these trends really kind of buck that, and they show that Republicans have a much better chance of keeping the House than it looks.
Call
Wiggins America.
If you haven't been able to place it, you listen to the whole song coming in. That was my bump music, and I just let the whole thing play. That is from A League of Their Own. There you go. You went, oh, yeah, I remembered. Or maybe you already had. You'd grabbed it already. Well, I'm playing that because Music for Fireworks, the American soundtrack, is coming up on July 4th, and it is the sixth annual, I believe. I'm still looking that up. I still got to find if that's true, but I think it's the sixth annual. And so every 4th of July since 2021, that would make it, I have hosted Music for Fireworks. It starts at 7 p.m., goes till 11 p.m., and it is just commercial-free Americana on the radio. It is for you driving to fireworks. It is for you to watch fireworks. I kind of try to, I always say, I time it exactly to your display. Because I try to hit the right songs that are going on when, you know, right when it gets dark and stuff like that. And it's fun. It's fun for me to try to do because every year I'm challenged to do it better. You're going to hear songs that you know. You're going to hear God Bless America. You're going to hear the Star Spangled Banner. But you're going to hear a lot of stuff that you didn't know you could hear in a special like that. In fact, I actually don't know that there's any station in the country that does a special like that. I just came up with the idea, and I do it every year, and I love it. It's the one time of the year that I do a special. It's the 4th of July. And so that's coming up. So I'm promoting it here by playing that. And then you hear stuff like this, movie clips from The Sandlot.
There was only one night game a year. On the 4th of July, the whole sky would brighten up with fireworks, giving us just enough light for a game. We played our best then, because I guess we all felt like the big leaguers under the lights of some great stadium. Benny felt like that all the time. We all knew he was going to go on to bigger and better games, because every time we stopped to watch the sky on those nights, like regular kids, he was there to call us back. You see, for us, baseball was a game. But for Benjamin Franklin Rodriguez, baseball was life.
And it's fun to hear this because you hear it. I shouldn't have even told you what it was from. I should have said, tell me what movie this is from and let you decide. But you do know that's The Sandlot. And we've all seen that movie. And it's the 4th of July scene from The Sandlot. So we have a lot of that kind of stuff. Stuff that you would forget is even in movies that's about the 4th or about fireworks or whatever. We'll play that. We also have some stuff that's a little more like deep, you know, the stuff that's from history. There's one in particular that's an old Porky Pig cartoon where he's traveling through the founding fathers and just the history of the country. That's stuff that we don't really see nowadays, especially in cartoons, you know, any sort of education like that. There's an old cartoon from 1948 that I'll play part of that talks about isms and how people will use isms, basically divisions and victimhood, to tear people apart. And this is from 1948. It's really cool. So I hope you hear some of that stuff throughout the night. I'm just kind of teasing you with it a little bit right now. I'm going to play right here. Check this out. This is actual audio from President Teddy Roosevelt. Yes, they actually had this. This is some of the earliest audio recordings that are in history are of President Teddy Roosevelt. Listen to this.
Theodore Roosevelt, 1912.
The great fundamental issue now before our people can be stated briefly. It is, are the American people fit to govern themselves, to rule themselves, to control themselves? I believe they are. I believe that the majority of the plain people of the United States will, day in and day out, make fewer mistakes in governing themselves than any smaller class or body of men, no matter what their training, will make in trying to govern them. I believe again that the American people are, as a whole, capable of self-control and of learning by their mistakes.
Awesome message, and it's still relevant. And it's amazing that we have that of Teddy Roosevelt. I think he was one of the first presidents that we photographed as well. So really cool historical stuff. You know, we've got some recreations of the Gettysburg Address. Stuff that you would, when I say it, hopefully you hear it and you go, oh, that would be really cool. We've got like clips from Superman and The Simpsons. Stuff that is really patriotic that you may not have known was there. And that's all sprinkled throughout all of the American music. And it's such an eclectic mix. 7 to 11 on 4th of July night, inviting you to be a part of it. And it's all sponsored this year by Paramount Men's Medical. So that's cool. We're going to take a short break and be right back with one last segment here on Wiggins America. Stick around. Shortly, we will be right back.
And departments have been busy night and day. They're figuring out just how we gave our secrets all away. And Congress has appointed a committee, so they said, to find out who's American and who's a low-down red. They call them up to Washington to speak for
Wiggins America.
When they ask them what they are, they shut up like a clam. I wish they'd take and put me on the witness stand today. I'd yell so loud old Stalin could hear me all the way.
One more reminder, I'm going to do it many times, but this is the last one, maybe, that your 4th of July evening should be spent with us, with me specifically, at 97.1, because it's music for fireworks, it is the American soundtrack, it is a lot of fun, it is the one time that I get to really take the station over. I guess you could say I do it on Wiggins America as well, but Wiggins America, the brand, is a part of the Mark Cox Morning Show on Tuesday mornings, and definitely a part of the Annie Fry Show every day, in a way. Certainly at 12:45 it is, because that is the Wiggins America segment. This is my show, so in that sense, I can do whatever I want. One of those things is to promote my special, my 4th of July special, which you are invited to. Music for Fireworks is set to the exact moments that your fireworks go off to the crescendos of the music. Somehow we're able to do that for every single person and celebration in the St. Louis area. So as you listen, it's patriotic music. It's kind of just Americana music for at least the first half of it until we get to dark, because it starts at 7 o'clock. 7, 8, 9, 10. I think it goes 7 to 10, if I'm not mistaken. I should probably check in on that, huh? But it's your whole evening, so just tune in and enjoy. It's all commercial-free, presented by Paramount Men's Medical Center. And I always try to add new things. Like, there's some songs you know will be a part of it. You know, the Star-Spangled Banner, Ray Charles, God Bless America, like traditional Battle Hymn of the Republic stuff, like good stuff. That's always going to be a part of it. But I try to add little things and little clips of like historic speeches and stuff in them, or old cartoons. There's stuff from Superman, Truth, Justice, and the American Way. Just little things in between the music that are a lot of fun. And some of them give a lot of historic perspective on what we're celebrating. And I think that's kind of important, but I try to make it all very, very fun and packaged well to where you're not like bogged down and being like, oh, at 4th of July night, let me learn something. It's all a celebration. So you're invited to it. But that's the good news. Here is a tale from the dark side.
There is, unseen by most, an underworld. A place that is just as real, but not as brightly lit. A dark side.
Oh my gosh, what a turn we've made. It was so celebratory, and now we're in this eerie music, and everything's kind of gloomy. Because I have to tell you something really terrible that's happened in the Wiggins household. So, because it's summer, and again, I love summer, but there are some drawbacks. One is the heat. And you might not think that's a drawback, but it is for your trash can. Your trash can gets nasty in the summer. So I hate cleaning it out, and I do it because I have to, but I hate doing it. And if you throw anything in there early in the week before the trash comes, it's going to probably get maggots, or it'll just be stinking out there, you know? So the problem is that you can't just keep your trash inside. Can't do it. So you got to throw it in there and just deal with the repercussions of it. So ours sits not too far from our garage door. So when you walk out of the garage, it just reeks. And that's part of summer, unfortunately. I hate that that's the smell of summer, but it is. So we got some mags in there, and they were nasty, and they were squirming around, and you know, they were doing the little inchworm thing along. And you go, ew, I don't want to even step on you to kill you. You're so gross. And we just dealt with it until trash day, and then we took it all out, and we got it all out of there. And sort of cleaned it up, although we should probably clean it up anymore. but then we got past that. And this is my wife's worst nightmare. Annie Fry from The Annie Fry Show hates spiders. My wife also doesn't like spiders. I don't know anybody who does. But she loses her mind when she sees a maggot. And I don't. I think they're gross. But I always have to deal with it then. So I dealt with that. And then I came home later. It was like two nights ago. And she was freaking out. And she's like, Ryan, you would have been so proud of me. I found an avocado in the bottom of a bowl that we keep fruit in. And it was, I picked it up and I looked at it and saw that it was infested with maggots. It had been sitting in the bottom of that thing and we just overlooked it. And she said, I didn't freak out because I knew in that moment that I would, if I freaked out, I would drop it and maggots would go everywhere, right? This is a tale from the dark side. So bear with me. So she said, I held it long enough to get it to the trash can, dropped it in the trash. And then she lost her mind and was like stomping and like, and immediately washed her hands, wrapped up that trash bag, threw it out in the garage where I had to pick it up, of course, and then found that they had gotten into one of the pieces of fruit, too. That was their origin, but they got into a piece of fruit. And so then she said, then I freaked out because she knew that she had to deal with that piece of fruit. So she wrapped a bag around it and kind of scooped it out and then just threw that into the garage. So when I got home, I walk up to like a mango or something sitting in a plastic bag in the garage. Then I'm like, what is this doing here? Just sitting here on the floor. And she opens the door and she goes, don't touch it. It's infested. And I'm like, what is this infested with? Is it the plague? She's like, no, it has maggots. And I'm like, ew, that's kind of gross. So I just kind of kicked it around and kicked it outside. But she lost her mind. If there is something like that, that makes you lose it. And I mean, she was like beyond reproach. She couldn't be reasoned with. She was like, they're in here now. They're in our house. They're in the walls. You know, I mean, she knew it was ridiculous, but she was losing it. If there's anything like that, that makes you just lose your mind, irrational, and you know it, I would love to hear about it. That's a weird thing. That's a weird request, especially here at the end of the show, but it's mine. And it could be yours, and we could share this together if you get on X and you message me at Radio Wiggins or on Facebook. I will leave you with that thought of the squirming little inchwormies and the smell. Happy summer. We're almost to 4th of July. Join us for Music for Fireworks. All right, we're done. We'll see you next week.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot.
because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.